This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer. And today I am joined by two very special guest co-hosts, Sammy Sage and Jordana Abraham. Hi, how are you guys?
Hello, incredibly excited to be talking about my favorite topic for the next hour or so. So I am as good as could be.
Yes, we have been talking about Beverly Hills on the At Betches podcast, but we thought we would move the conversation here and have it with a real Bravo expert. So that, you know, we could talk about it on our real Bravo channel. So we're so excited to be here.
Yes, we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, reunion part one today. And you two are going to be joining me the next 4 Thursdays to talk about the whole reunion. So, and we're going to be getting into Winter House also on some Thursday episodes. So we've got a lot to talk about. Before we get into this reunion episode, because you guys haven't been, you know, here for the whole season, I want to give you each like 30-ish seconds. I'm not timing you. Who cares? To kind of say like how you're feeling about all the Erica stuff. Like what have been your thoughts kind of as the season has progressed? So, Sammy, you can go first.
Okay. I have been pretty suspicious of Erica since this all started unraveling. And the more I like read about it and the more you sort of like look into the history of Tom's Tom's like legal issues, it's clear that this has been going on for a long time. Erica knew about it. It was sort of an open secret. And I kind of stand by what like Sutton said, that she made a deal with the devil, that she was going to like live off her husband, who was going to fund her career and her entire existence, knowing that there was something sketchy going on. I'm sure she didn't know every in and out of his law firm, but yeah. The only question in my mind is, the only like remaining question is like, is there offshore money? And is that why she stuck with him the whole season? Or did they spend all the money?
Well, so, you know, the devil always comes knocking. So
I am with Sutton on like all her suspicions. She was spot on and completely vindicated.
Amazing. Okay, great. Jordana, do you feel the same? Do you have any different sort of nuances here?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to know, like, obviously she's been, I think her whole business, I've always kind of had like a thought in the back of my head when watching the show, like, how does she afford to fly 10 glam squad people like internationally first class just to do like her makeup for this event, which didn't really seem like a lucrative thing to me because it wasn't like, oh, I knew a ton of people who were just waiting at the edge of their seat to buy Erica Jane like concert tickets. So I'm definitely interested to know, like, I'm sure she didn't know everything, but I would like to know exactly what she knew, which I'm sure we will never find out. But I also don't think she seems that poor right now. So that's another thing I'm excited to see.
It was interesting to hear last night that when Andy was kind of starting, you know, giving her sort of like a little bit of space at the beginning of the episode to sort of like give her little PR statement about how she can't, you know, say everything.
Right.
She was talking about how the money situation during the season was like not that big of a concern, it seemed like, but then.
And now it is.
Now it is. Like, I'm always like a little unsure of like what's really happening with the money, because even on the trip to Del Mar in the last few episodes, she still had like people there doing her makeup.
Right.
And it's like, okay, if you're saying, girl, I have $0, like, okay,
that's
then like how
true.
Are those people getting paid? Like what does $0 mean in actuality?
forget the glam squad, a Range Rover. You don't need to drive a Range Rover. You can drive a luxury car, Erica, that like costs.
Or not a luxury car.
No, here's the thing. She's not gonna, she's not really, she's not going to downgrade her lifestyle past a certain point, but like she could probably lease like a BMW for like 400 something a month, like rather than her her Range Rover, which is probably costing her closer to 1,000. Her rent on that house is like, I've seen on Reddit, like $9,500. Like you don't need to live in that one person house. Right, like, you could go live in you could get a condo in West Hollywood for a really nice condo for like 5 or 6,000. So like she doesn't need to be, I already just have her monthly expenses. So just like, you know, she,
you're like you're like the Susie Orman of Erica. You're like, girl, I have figured out all your expenses right. down to a T.
Yeah. Like she's still, you know, I mean, I don't think she's allowed to sell her clothing, but whatever.
But I have to say, I thought she looked a lot older on the reunion. I think that like her, she obviously had glam, but it didn't, her glam and the other things like makes her look like she's 25 because it's like so incredibly airbrushed or something like that. Like here I felt like she looked like sort of her age, which she's probably unhappy about. Like she does seem like somewhat a little bit poorer.
No, maybe one's like ugly, a little, they're just poor.
Maybe like a little less like Botoxed or like,
yeah, like maybe
she
that
looked
was
a little
it?
Like, the like her makeup was still done, obviously, but it was like she looked a little less like fresh. I don't know.
Right. It looked less Kardashian and more like a regular housewife on a different franchise season two.
Yeah. Yeah.
How she looked was actually a huge point of debate on Reddit. And people thought the other things that were thrown out there were not enough filler. Like she's not filled anymore, which has made her skin sort of like cave in a little bit. Her face is like ruddy from alcohol and people think she gained weight. I think like she just looks like what she actually looks like because she has just like overall less intense maintenance.
I was surprised to hear that her adjective for how she wanted to look at the reunion was hot.
Hot.
Because I was like, I feel like you're kind of look like not about, this isn't even about her looks. It's like, I didn't feel like she really was giving like hotness in the way that she has in the past. Like she wasn't performing hotness the way that Erica Jane has. So it's kind of like, okay, like I don't, that's not really like the vibe I'm getting, but like, you know, she wants someone with a big dick. That's like her objective now.
It's her goal to come across as like big bank account. Yeah.
I know. I felt like big dick was almost like code for big
bank account.
She didn't.
Like she knows she can't say that.
She honestly didn't do anything to convince me that she did not have sex with Armie Hammer and or Scooter Braun with those reactions. I'm not going to lie. Like she wants a big dick and money. So why wouldn't she, you know?
I mean, I personally like Scooter Braun is repulsive to me, but like I can see the pros.
The key to a music career. He's a
I don't
music
think Scooter Braun
manager.
Is going to like marry Erica Jane. I don't really see that happening.
It's not. Yeah, you don't think that. But like, let's think about the machinations of Erica's head right now. She's like her most desperate she's ever been. You don't think she'd be like, why not try it? Like,
no, I think she'd be down. I don't think he'd be down to marry her.
Erica's like, if I sleep with Scooter Braun, I'm going to be featured on a Justin Bieber song.
Yeah, have sex with. I don't think he wants to marry her.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The first sort of, like, package that we move into is all the stuff with Sutton. You know, she had an eventful season, but it seems like, for the most part, we're not getting into her and Erica yet, but like, she seems like she's in a good place with Crystal. She seems like she doesn't have a lot of baggage really that she's bringing to this reunion. I feel like, you know, she's doing well with her roller. She doesn't need it on the set.
Well, I have to say, I think that Sutton came with like a confidence to the reunion, knowing that like the audience has her back. So I think it's much easier to be confident when you were like, I know I'm right now.
She has the whole, like her whole existence exudes, I told you so. Like, you know what I mean?
And to see the way that Rinna is kind of handling Sutton is very strange to me. I feel like Lisa Rinna, I don't know what has happened, but she's like lost touch so much with how people are watching the show and are like reacting to the show. And so for her to be like making these comments about how she didn't think Sutton's store was a business and like kind of like smirking about it, it's like, first of all, you used to have a boutique that I think didn't do well. So
they went
like
out of business.
Yeah. So like, why are you making digs about somebody else's boutique?
It's quite telling because she obviously doesn't see a boutique as a business. She sees it as like a hobby that sucks money. Like, it actually, if you're successful, your boutique can be a business.
Right. Like, it is technically a business. Like, just, it's,
yeah.
If you're like owning and operating a store, that is a business.
But she was probably like owning and operating a hobby, you know? Like Erica Jane being an artist.
No, because Rinna had that store before she was on Real Housewives. I think she was trying to make money from that store. It wasn't a hobby for her. Rinna's store was not a hobby.
Belle Gray. I mean, why not? It could have been like a vanity store.
No, because I don't think, at least Rinna is the poorest person on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Maybe now Erica.
Not anymore.
I think that was in Lisa Rinna's era of like being a sad C-list actress. Before
doing
she,
the
like,
diaper commercials.
Right. Before she got Housewives and kind of reinvented herself as like iconic hair and big lips.
Right. I think her whole thing is becoming very tired. I know we have like more to discuss about her and Garcelle towards like the end of it, but I think she is like past her peak.
Totally.
My thing with Rinna is that I feel like she's in the category of housewives that are just like Bravo staples, and it sort of feels like they're kind of like untouchable on the show. And after this season, it makes me wonder like what would have to happen for Bravo to be like, I think we're good on Lisa Rinna, because I still can't imagine her actually getting fired, even though people are like, fire Rinna. Like, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, Vicky was a housewife staple and they got rid of her. Also, you know, I feel like I wonder if like Andy likes Rinna and that's why she stays. Like,
so is again, Tamara.
Tamara too. I guess this goes back to my question. Like, who would you want Andy? Who would you, if you could know Andy's opinion on any housewife, who would it be? And maybe it would be Rinna.
You asked me this last night and I said Rinna.
Yeah.
I think Rinna's one of those people where like her personality is so perfect for housewives that it's easy. Like, and I'm sure in the past, like she was bringing great stuff to the show. So she's kind of like occupied this role of just like, she's Rinna, she's a housewife, but like, we can give it and we can take away.
Right. I think right. we should take it away.
I think we should take it away.
I would like to see Kyle without like this Fox Force 5 or 4 or whatever. Like that ruins the show. The fact that these women have like this sort of agreement, either explicit or implicit, that they're not going to talk about certain things ruins the show. Like it, I mean, I guess it's very classic Beverly Hills. It's true to what you'd be like in Beverly Hills, but it's like very bothersome as a viewer.
That's one of my biggest questions as we go through this reunion is going to be where Kyle sort of stands with that group when the reunion ends, because I feel like we're sort of getting some inklings that she is like not totally Team Erica. And I mean, we've seen that a little bit in the season, but like, I would love to see Kyle sort of have a moment where she actually like speaks up and distances yeah. herself from that group. But I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's one of my biggest kind of like things I'm interested to see is like, are we going to get a moment from Kyle that's like,
I don't think she's going to do that, because Kyle has been around. I think Kyle is actually the most manipulative person on the whole show. And she's very good at it, doing it subtly, because she's had a lot of practice and she's like been watched. She's like, she learned a little bit from like LVP, but also what
and
not
Big
to
Kathy.
Do.
Yeah, Big Kathy.
Totally. But also, but like what not to do, I think. And so yeah. she, I think, gets away. She'll say less and say it very strategically. And I don't think she will come out with like a very like strong statement in either direction. She plays both sides.
I do think last night when, you know, Garcelle was going at it with Dorit and with Rinna, I think Kyle was giving a lot of facial expressions, which I enjoy, but she was the kind of getting involved the least. We saw Crystal kind of
right.
jumping in.
We saw
Erica jumping in, you know, obviously Sutton and Garcelle are close, but like Kyle wasn't really like, she clearly doesn't want to come for Garcelle, but she also isn't really like going against Dorit or Rinna. Yeah.
Did you see what she said about the race comment? Like when they were saying like, don't bring race into the show. She said like, well, that this is real life. Like this is a real life thing. And I was like, oh, Kyle has like learned to, you know,
well, Kyle knows what yeah. Kyle knows what to say the right thing. And I also think, or like to say somewhat of like the thing that's appropriate or what she thinks the viewers will seem as will deem as appropriate. But I also think I kind of feel like her long game thing was like, she was pissed at Garcelle for calling her out. Like even in the beginning where she kind of mm-hmm. called her racist a little bit, where she like said that like what she was doing yeah. like had some sort of like racial something involved with it. And I think that she was mad at her about that. And I think that she's letting Dorit and like Rinna kind of like get back at her for that.
Well, she ended up fucking over Dorit and Rinna because they are the ones who come out looking like,
well, that's yeah, what I'm saying. But she, yeah, she had them do her dirty work. And then now she looks Dorit. Like she's like, she's cool with everyone.
Let's yeah. talk about Dorit versus Garcelle, because this took up a lot of time on last night's episode. And I did a poll on the Bravo by Betches story this morning of Team Dorit or Team Garcelle. And I think it's like 87% yeah. Team Garcelle. And
it was. I
think this was like a big miscalculation on Dorit's part. And I'm surprised because when the episode, you know, that like Rinna Beauty party episode and the ones after that, I feel like the viewers were very vocally not feeling Dorit's right. argument. You yeah. know, like they were very like, why are you coming for Garcelle like this? And it surprises me that she didn't.
She doubled down.
Kind of like course correct before the reunion, because right. it's like she's like coming for Garcelle in a way that we haven't really seen Dorit come for anyone before. Maybe Camille a little bit, but like it's a lot of intense energy coming from Dorit, and it feels like really like you're going this hard at Garcelle, and it's an interesting look.
I think this is one of the side effects, like the externalities, if you will, of having the Fox Force 5, because if they could like get to the this part of the reunion I felt was sort of like clearing out all the issues that are not Erica related. Like they wanted to like almost get them out of the way. And I feel like the fact that Dorit like had to like start drama with Garcelle, like it all felt so manufactured and like she was just like overreacting for attention. And I think that's one of like the results when they're not just allowed to let the season play out because they have these alliances. Dorit has some doubts about Erica. Like they all clearly have doubts about Erica, whether they're forthcoming about it, but because they're in this like alliance, they're not going to come for Erica. So they need to do other things to distract from that. So that's why I think like Dorit had this really stupid hill to die on with Garcelle.
Making passive aggressive jabs. Passively provocative is like the funniest turn of phrase that she has clearly decided is like how she's going to refer to this. And it's like,
passively provocative. It doesn't even make any sense.
It's just passive aggressive. Also, like, why are we acting like all of the women don't make comments in their confessionals? First of all, they're starting a fight with her about confessionals that haven't aired yet. And like, they didn't see that they were already starting fights about her confessionals. And they just like use that as an excuse. Also, like, of course, Garcelle is not comfortable. Her whole point is that you make her uncomfortable. She's not going to bring up these issues to your face.
I thought it was really surprising, or maybe not surprising, but that Dorit and Rinna basically were saying that, yeah, okay, we all say stuff in our confessionals, but Garcelle does it more than anyone else, which I just feel like is objectively not really true. And even if it was, it's like that is the assignment. Like that's what they sit you down in the confessional chair, and the whole point is that they're getting you to speak candidly. And like, I just think it's, Garcelle is not doing anything that is like new or different than like the typical housewives way of interacting with each other. And so the fact that Dorit and Rinna have like latched onto this idea that she's making digs and jabs and being passive aggressive, it's like the whole point of housewives is that you're having like these heated interactions with each other. And I don't think Garcelle is doing it in a way that's any less appropriate than anybody else.
I agree. And I also think last season, like how could Dorit say that last season she did Kyle's fashion show thing for her, whatever stupid line. And then she was like, in the confessional was like, Kyle doesn't know how to run a fashion show. Like, did she say that to her face? Did she say that?
She's not really a designer.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Did she say any of that to Kyle? But I'm saying like, this fashion show was a complete mess. And then after, like, she did not say anything like that to her.
I think they're mad that Garcelle is like wittier than she is. And all that stuff Dorit was saying was like, you try to be passive aggressive to be relevant. Like that was so much projection.
The relevant comment was just,
it's just like, that's not what people get from Dorit. Like you're so out of touch with how the audience perceives all these people.
Yeah. And Garcelle says that she needs an apology for Dorit using the word bully. And Dorit, like, she does apologize, but it's her apology is like wrapped up within a 5-minute explanation of why she did sort of mean bully, because one part of bully is that it's incessive. And, you know, that's like, Garcelle, you were bringing it up over and over again. And like, so bully, you know, but also I'm so sorry. And it's like, that's not how apologies work. Like, you're either sorry for saying the word or you meant it and it was correct. Like, it's like going back to the earlier this season when they were going on and on about the word violated. And it's like,
oh my God.
It's can't like, there that. Are dictionary definitions of words. And so Dorit, like if you really feel like the word bully was accurate, then say that, but don't explain why you used it and then half apologize.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the 3-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can we get to the meat of the issue, which is where is the money? I don't really want to like argue over the definition of words anymore. Like, it's very boring. It's very Bill Clinton in the 90s. Like, what is the definition of is?
I also felt like Rita was just like gaslighting her, Garcelle. Yeah. Like, whenever she would get upset, she would turn it into a topic that had nothing to do with that. And then like double down on her stance. But like, so the point where I was like, by the end of it, I had no idea what like anyone was even talking about. So she did a good job of like diffusing the blame on herself to where like suddenly she's like, can we just hug? I'm like, what did it just happen? We have to use the situation so much.
When Rinna brought up Harry Hamlin watching the show and saying that Garcelle seems so unhappy, like what's going on with her? Where's the old Garcelle? I was like, oh my God. Like, first of all, I don't even necessarily believe that that interaction happened, but like it made me think of when I was like in high school, every single day, my mom would just be like, you look sad. Are you sad? And I'm like, I'm just like sitting here. Like, I'm just like, I'm doing homework.
Well, it reminded me of like, I felt like that was a total gaslighting move. Like, it reminded me of when my mom says like annoying shit to me about my wedding. And then I get really annoyed at her. And then she's like, why are you so sad? Like, why are you so angry? Why should like brides shouldn't be so angry? Like, is there something wrong?
It's gaslighting.
Right, it's gaslighting. That's what I'm saying.
Also, okay, can we talk about Rinna's physical move to the other couch, which felt like the physical manifestation of like love bombing? It's like she went so close to her that it made it basically impossible for Garcelle not to just be like, fine. Like, it was so manipulative that she did that.
I always have mixed feelings about reunion makeups because like sometimes I think they can be really genuine and earned and like a culmination. But so much of the time it feels like, okay, now hug. Okay, like we talked this through.
Like, it's for the audience.
Rinna didn't admit she was wrong. She was just like, I love you. I love you. You're my best friend. Like, we have so much fun together.
But also with Dorit and Garcelle last night, it also felt like Garcelle was kind of backed into a corner with that. And she's like, I don't dislike anything about Dorit, so I guess we can be friends. And it's like, I mean, I don't blame Garcelle for feeling like she kind of had to do that. But it's like, we can dislike things about people. And like, I think you do dislike things about her. Like, you've just been going at it for the last 30 minutes. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I think they do that to her a lot. Like, they make her like wrap everything up in a bow and like basically dishonor her feelings constantly.
I also like, does anyone, I think Rinna totally did say the thing about race. She never even denied saying it. She just kind of like skirted around the issue by not like.
She was just like indignant about it and like, oh, Garcelle.
She denied it, I think.
No, she didn't. She didn't say that. She said, you should have come to me if someone told you that.
Well, and I think that was just that. It was more of like a,
definitely.
You know me. Like, you really think I would say something like that? Like, Garcelle, like, you honestly, like, it's very like you're shaming the other person for even like
right,
considering this thing that somebody brought to them. It's not like Garcelle came up with this idea that Rinna said it and now it's like, I think you said it. It's like somebody told her that she said it. Like,
right. It reminds me of Jen Shah, like denying that that she tweeted her tweets or liked those tweets. And it's like, who else would it have been?
Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, I did it and I don't know who told you.
It was like, I don't know if you guys watched the Watch What Happens Live with Garcelle last night, but Andy was asking about this and Garcelle was asked like, do you think Rinna said this thing? And you could tell that Garcelle was like, if I say that I think she said it, it's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
And so she's like, no, I don't think Rinna said it. And like, I do believe that Garcelle wants to move forward with Lisa Rinna, at least in the sense of like, if they're going to be on the show together, let's not spend a whole nother season fighting. But like, Rinna might have said that. Like, it's not outside the realm of possibility. And I think it's like funny to see these white women on these shows over and over again act like so horrified at the suggestion that they would do something that honestly kind of sounds like something they would do.
Yeah. It's right. Like, they want her to like be in their agree, you know, in sort of in on their agreement that they're not going to go certain places, but like, she's never agreed to that. You don't treat her in a way that would make her feel included. That would make her want, like, that would maybe incentivize her to like, you know, want to talk things through with you in a civilized way. Like, it's just sort of like, they really emotionally manipulate her to a large extent.
They want her to sign the like friendship agreement without getting any of the benefits.
Yes, exactly. You just put it into birth.
That was what the
love
bombing thing was about. I felt like after the racial comment, Joanna was like quick thinking, like, shit, I need to like just diffuse this whole thing. So I'm just going to like tell her that we're best friends, run over to the couch.
If I sit on her lap right now, will she stop talking about
this relationship cannot end. And the thing that people talk about with me and her is that like I said that there's too much, like there shouldn't be any racial discussion on the show. So I need to like just end this, give her the hug, we're made up, and then like move, not like really admit any guilt to anything, but just like move on and then end that conversation.
So basically Beverly Hills, seems like is going to start filming basically now. And assuming everyone is coming back, how do you think Garcelle is actually going to be with Dorit and Rinna moving forward? Because they all seemingly made up at the reunion, but like I would give those makeups like a 6 out of 10 at best in terms of like authenticity.
Right.
Well, I think that the alliances have shifted on the show. And I think we have solidified a new trio of Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton, who kind of adjacently have Kathy, I think, because Kathy doesn't want anything to do with Rinna or Dorit, like really, like, and Kyle's obviously her sister. So I think that like Garcelle, I think the three of them are going to be in a better position because the fandom is like more on their side.
But can I say something? Crystal doesn't really seem to be like, I know she's like grouped in with the two of them, but she doesn't seem to like either of them that much. I don't really see why they're grouped with Crystal so much just because she's new.
I think they do like each other now.
I think Crystal is like sort of like a swing vote almost where she like, she obviously is like friends with Rinna and Dorit, you know, like she kind of gets along with that group. But I do think she and Garcelle have had some conversations like on a little deeper level. I do think she and Sutton are like genuinely good now. But I'll be most interested to see really where Kyle sort of fits in next season because it seems like Erica is really like not impressed with how Kyle has, you know, like dealt with her. And so I'm curious to see if that's going to manifest in like Kyle and Rinna not being so good. If Rinna is still like Erica's, you know, brave little soldier.
I think Kyle should cut her losses like right now. And Erica's never going to trust her again. Fine. You don't want that woman's trust anyway. Why? Like, and I think Kyle has this, and you saw her kind of do it with LVP, is like she has this need to like make every single person like her, even if she, even if it's like impossible and like she doesn't even necessarily like them. Like she, I just think she can't stand to have someone who's not like approving of her. And that's why she's like not just cutting her losses with Erica and like distancing from her, like in a very clear way. Like it would make so much more sense for her to do that, but she isn't.
And actually, in the second half of this season, Kyle and Sutton had a few one-on-one scenes with each other, and it seems like they get along pretty well. And so I almost would like to see Kyle sort of lean into that friendship and actually like get closer with Garcelle. And I think that could be like a really good sort of new lane for her. But at the same time, like, I don't see Kyle like really like not like moving away from like Rinna and Dorit in a meaningful way, right? Because I think she still sees them as like more powerful on
Housewives. She wants to be on that side more. I also think she can relate more to their like materialism and their lack of being down to earth. Like, I think that's much more Kyle's like wheelhouse than totally. Like, I want to engage in interesting discussions about race and like the legal part of like Erica's thing. Like, I think Kyle's like a little more superficial than the Garcelle Sutton.
Kyle still didn't read the article. Like,
Kyle having to explain once again.
I had someone explain the article to me. It's like,
right. Having to explain once again that the LA Times article was too long for her. It's like, oh my God.
Embarrassing. Like, you didn't think that was embarrassing the first time. Like,
right.
Yeah. I agree with that. She's too shallow for that.
Like, having someone explain the like legal ramifications is fine, but it's like, stop saying that it was because the article was too long. Right, like, that's
what did you get on your SAT reading comprehension? Like, I think a zero? Like,
she didn't go to college, so she probably didn't take the SATs.
Did Kyle college?
But no, remember in the early season, she's like, I was a working actress, so I didn't go to college.
Oh, she could have
gone to college. Total. She was not that famous or successful.
Speaking of, I'm seeing Halloween Kills tonight. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Oh my God. If I have to hear Kyle pretend like she's fucking Macaulay Culkin one more time, like she was not that successful in child actress. Driving me crazy.
Yeah. But honestly, Kyle's biggest like trait, I think, is that she makes shallow friendships easily. Like she's good at getting along with people on like a shallow dimension. So she could, in theory, like make friends with Sutton and like be Sutton's friend. Like, I'm sure they have lots of rich stuff to talk about. You know what I mean? Like jewelry auctions.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw them shopping for like China or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure they could form a whole relationship just based on spending money. Like, maybe Kyle's never going
to
relate
to Garcelle about.
Maybe she doesn't need to have like their kids, how much they love their kids. Like what it's like to be a mom, like, and worry
what
about
it's
your
like
kids.
Being an actress, you know, being in Hollywood. I would love to see them bring one of Garcelle's like real friends onto the cast. Like, I don't think this cast needs like a lot of shakeups or anything, but like that's one angle that I would love to see them explore a little bit. Cause I think Garcelle has like actual like cool, interesting friends, and I would love to see like a little more of her real vibe.
All they need to do to satisfy me is to drop Rinna, like just drop Rinna, and like you could really, that's the only change they need to make. Even if they demoted her to a friend of, that would also satisfy me.
Would you, if they dropped Rinna, would you want Denise to come back?
Sure. Yeah, why not? Like, more drama, better.
I like
more,
Denise.
Yeah, like more drama.
I don't know
drama,
if I need
good.
To see. I don't know if I need to hear from Aaron until the pandemic is like fully in the rearview mirror.
Yes, no Aaron, but like Denise, I felt like was sort of an interesting character because you weren't really sure like what was going on with her. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, she's also one where you're like, kind of like you sometimes. I'm not really sure like,
and, like
what's going
her
on
season
with you
one,
times.
Her first season vibe was different than her second season. Like, she kind of. It was hard to get a read on her, like, as a housewife.
I agree. Right. Hard to read.
She needed, like, another couple seasons to really fully understand her.
Well, if we fire LR, then maybe we can get Denise back.
Yeah.
Ugh, this episode was so fun. I feel like we really dipped our toes in. We got some important issues out of the way. And now, you know, we're starting to talk about Erica and Tom. And there's clearly a lot more, you know, a lot more questioning to
apparently
to
the first Andy said the first 20 minutes of the next episode, the next reunion episode, are, yes, about, are about her marriage.
Oh, great.
See, I'm excited. Like, obviously, I want all the like, I want all the like legal questions too, but like the marriage is.
We need to clarify a lot of these like inconsistencies.
Totally. Well, this has been great. I'm so glad you guys were able to join me, and you'll be back next Thursday to discuss part two, and it will be the Winter House premiere, so we'll have a lot to talk about.
Can't wait.
In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen so you don't miss any of our episodes. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches.
Just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.